Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. If you would, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. And when you get there, please stand for a reading of the Word. Matthew, chapter 10, and we'll probably pick up at verse number 29. Jesus speaking, he said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." You may be seated. The thought that the Lord had given me was he has his eye on the sparrow. And I'd had that just in my mind for quite a few days, maybe even a couple of weeks, and the Lord just kept speaking that out of His Spirit. His eyes on the sparrow. His eyes on the sparrow. And folks, I ask for your attention tonight to something that's probably a little bit different from what we normally hear, and that times are coming upon us, and just in our past, I mean, we've seen the terrorist attacks, of course, of 9/11, and the ones that was on England and on Spain, and then we have the problems in Iran and Iraq, and the Gaza Strip and Lebanon and Israel, and then you got Jordan and Iran and Egypt that you have to deal with, and then we have names that are thrown out there that are real common to us, like Hugo and Adam and Rita and Katrina, all of these things happening, tsunamis here and earthquakes and such as this. And if we're not careful, we'll just sit, and when we see these things and we see the people that this is affecting, even when it happened in New York City, when we see these things take place, we see it on the news, and we soon forget because it's always somebody else and not us. It don't become a real true reality, but if something like that would have happened, say they would have flown an airplane into over at the industrial park in J-Town, chances are that we would have all probably known someone who would have perished. Or if they flew planes into downtown, and chances are we'd probably know, and we would have a deeper reality because our lives would be shook. And we have to realize that God has prepared His Word so that as we see these things to come, that we know that something's taking place. We need to understand in Luke, if you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 21, I'll give you a few verses of Scripture there. Luke 21:25 says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars." And unless we really follow a lot of the science side of this, we'll never see those. We'll hear on the news from time to time that there'll be an eclipse or there'll be a comet or something that'll take place. And unless you really do a lot of studies in the book of Josephus and Philo, you won't understand and see that every time that these cosmic signs take place, something great happened in the Word of God. Josephus, if you don't know who that is a Jewish historian, and he put down a lot of things that had happened that we don't normally get to hear about. And then he goes on and the Bible tells us, "And upon the earth," now those are the things that are going to happen out in, I guess you would say, in space and in the upper heavens. But he says, "Upon earth, the distress of nations with perplexity." Now, how many of you, whenever you look at what's going on and what's taking place in other countries, you're wondering, what is this people's problem? Why have they always got to be fighting? Why have they got to kill each other in the name of religion? I mean, we said in our country, and I don't know about you, but I used to think that all the time, what's wrong with them? Why can't they just look, if that's where your border is, just stay inside your border and leave everybody else alone? You know, kind of like parents do when the kids are all fighting. Don't nobody touch anybody, don't nobody look at anybody, and leave everybody else's stuff alone, and we'll have peace in the house. That never happened around. There was eight of us in the house. That happened all the time. Everybody go to your room and don't nobody come out. And it was quiet. And it gets perplexed sometimes when you try to see, well, what is this and why is this and who is this? When you have to see that it's not really so much a battle that is taking place over top of ground or oil as everybody would have you to realize. This is a spiritual battle that countries and spirits are jockeying for position for the things that our Bible tells us is going to take place. That don't mean every time that something is fired. I heard all kinds of people when the Hezbollah had put all of their forces against Israel, they would come and say, this is it, this is the big one. You know, where is this at in the Bible? They're attacking Israel and Israel's attacking back. No, there has to be countries from all the way around their borders have to set in position. Now, when Iran and Jordan started to speak and say, well, we need to get involved in this, then it could have been had they started. But really, we have to be aware that these things are going to happen in the earth. Jesus had told us this is going to happen. It's not nothing that we should really lose our minds over or that we should become so totally blown away in. And he goes on, he says in verse 26, for men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Which that's what I'm telling you. Everybody, even lost people, know something's up. As soon as these things start to happen, what's the Bible say about this? Where is this at in prophecy? Get a Bible and read the book of Revelation. You can't start there. You have to start with the gospel of Jesus or you'll never figure out what's coming. The probably the greatest magnitude of prophecy will be found in Matthew chapter 24 if you want to know what's going to happen. The book of Revelation is written for those when you understand Daniel, when you understand Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, when you know those books, then you can maybe start to pull apart the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what that book was meant for. It is not for a prophecy guide for us to dictate where we're at in time. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ, of the fullness of Jesus. We have the first part of the revelation of Jesus in the four Gospels, which tells us what He done and why He's coming back. In Revelation, it begins to tell us everything that Jesus is going to do and how He is going to rule and reign as King. So men's hearts will begin to fail them for the fear that they have. And it says in verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I believe it's Corinthians or is it in probably Thessalonians, tells us that we need to comfort one another with these things. But we find that hard to comfort one another with the end of time and with Jesus coming back and life as we know it changing. We kind of have a hard time comforting one another in that because we got plans. I mean, how many got plans to go somewhere on vacation or to have an event or just to retire and be old? And Charlotte and I talk about it all the time. She said, I can't wait to retire and we can sit out on a swing and drink coffee and read the paper. And it's hard for me to say, well, honey, just guess what? Jesus will come back and we'll both be gone and that's never going to happen. And kind of like you don't get real excited about that. But what we have to do is realize that even though we look for a tomorrow on this earth, there's a better tomorrow coming, and we need to comfort one another with these when we see these things start to take place. Now, what would happen if overnight, and I know we have been so protected in our country. I mean, we can fuss and gripe about our military and the media and our government and how corrupt and how terrible and just fuss and fuss and fuss. But we never want to go tonight and never think about a bomb being dropped in one of our cities. We'll wake up just expecting our alarm to go off and we'll go to work and we'll get our paycheck and we'll buy some groceries and we'll make payments and we'll put into our 401k and we'll retire. And we never once think about what if all of that changed. And I just want to put it in your mind. What if overnight bombs did drop into major cities? And you wake up to a report that all of your city's leaders have been executed. And now it's a whole new reign of things. The idea of that is very real. But the question is, what would you do? Would you rely on what Jesus has already built in you and know these things are going to come to pass? I don't need to lose my faith. These things are going to happen, but Jesus promised me He's going to deliver me out of all of them. He also goes on to say that in that time that you're going to be delivered up. You're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. We see that in other countries and we hear about the stories, and those are stories and we're sorry for those people, but we're kind of comfortable in what we have. But what if all of that was taken away from us? And sometimes I wonder, where would God's eyes be when all of this takes place? Let me comfort you in this. God's eyes are not on the world economy. It's not on what Hezbollah is doing, or Iran, or the United States, or England, or anybody else. God is not worried about His prophecies being fulfilled. His prophecies are going to be fulfilled. It says in the book, every bit will come to pass. So He's not sitting there thinking, now, what is the perfect time for me to get this to happen? Now, I got to make sure that Britain's in this position, and Iran is over here, and all of this. I got to keep my eyes on all the situations. That is not what the Bible tells us. It tells us in Psalm 33, 18 and 19, it says, behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear Him and upon them that hope in His mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. His eyes is not going to be on all the situation. His eyes is not going to be worried about the war. His eyes is going to be focused on you and how you are handling what is happening around you. If His concern is over that sparrow, and the word that they use there for fall is an Aramaic word, which means to come to the ground hopping. If you can't fly, if you can't get away, His eyes are on you. That sparrow trusts that it's going to be able one day. I can't fly right now. I hopped out of the nest. I can't fly right now. Cheryl and I, we had some robins that got raised in the windowsill of our bedroom. And, you know, your first thing is to tear the nest down because it's nasty and it made a mess. And you think, I just, you know, tear it down. But then the eggs were in there and we watched them as they got birthed and as they grown. And you see them come out of the nest and hop a little bit on the sill and then hop back in the safety of the nest. But then one day they flew off, but the third one didn't fly off. It flew to the ground. But the mama sat up there on the clothesline and watched it. And I believe that little bird said, yeah, everybody else got to fly, but I know one day I'm going to. I know I'm going to be able to use what I have. And as that mama's eye was on that little baby the whole time, God's eye is on us. Things may not go the way that we want them to go. We may not always be able to eat at places where we pay $20 a plate for food. We may not have the best of clothes and the best of automobiles and the best of houses and garages and lands and things that we have and money poured into. We may not always have that stuff. But God has promised us, you will have shelter and you will have something to eat and you will have raiment on your body. And we will have to live on that faith. It comes to the point where that Jesus was overlooking the city, and because they knew what was going to go on, they knew how Messiah was going to come, they knew that they were the chosen people, they knew that it was going to be all for them and none for nobody else. They knew everything about it, but we find Jesus up on a hillside looking out over the city, weeping, saying, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem. And as He's crying over them because of their unbelief, He says, because you knew not the time of your visitation. Let me instruct you tonight. Don't be asleep. And don't be so stubborn and hard-headed that you miss the time of your visitation. The Lord is so concerned, God is so concerned, through the pages of the Bible, has pinned down everything from A to Z, and it's already setting in motion. He knows it's going to take place. Jesus Himself said, of the day and the hour, I don't know, but the Father has reserved that to Himself. All of these things, God already knows is going to happen, and He has a pretty good idea of how we're going to stand, because He can see our tomorrow, and that's where His concern is. When you're handled with that decision of whether to just either quit and give up and go to the other side or go on and fight through whatever it is that handled at you, that's where He wants His eyes. His eyes are focused on His people to see how you're going to handle it.
so that if he needs to, he can scoop you up like that sparrow and tell you, if he's so concerned as to be concerned of the very number of hairs on your head. I mean, Rick, I believe that you love your kids abundantly. But I don't think that Rick's ever said, y'all come in here in the living room, Eric, I want to count all the hair on your head. I'm just that concerned. You might have lost one. But God is so concerned that he even counts that. Listen, you are such a royal seed and so important to God, brother. The very best that heaven had come to die, not so that you would be saved, but that you might be. That you would have the opportunity. Jesus, leaving heaven, never had the for surety promise that every one of us would be saved. But he came that we might be reconciled back unto God. That we might be able to receive that. We need to get to a place where we understand that in Christ Jesus, you are something. I want you to know that tonight. Things may not go your way at work, but you are something to God. Things may not go your way in the sports field. As Chelsea plays ball, things may not, games don't always go the way you plan them. Looks good on the play board, but it just don't happen that way. But you're still special to God. Things may not go the way you want them in your family. Amen. Can everybody say amen to that one? But you are still special to God. Things may not even go the way you want them in church from the beginning of the service to the end, but you are still special to God. And everybody who is around you is so special to God that his eyes are fixed on you to see what you're doing. It's his pleasure. It's his pleasure to look into your life, Carly, and to deal with your emotions. That when we are coming apart, that soothing scripture comes and the Holy Spirit says, okay, Cheryl, I think you hear so many that when Peter denied Jesus that third time and Jesus looked at him and I hear the priest, Peter, how could you? You knew me. But I don't find it that way. I read where Jesus says, Peter, the devil has desired to sift you. Now, my grandmother used to have one of them little old baskets, wire basket, and you put the flour in there, and you just take it apart, shaking it. Never get in a hurry, because if a lump falls over, you got to start all over. Just very slowly taking that thing apart to every particle is separated. Satan desired to tear Peter apart, but Jesus said, I prayed for you. And for me, I think in that, when Peter denied him, and he looked at Jesus, and Jesus looked at him, I believe Jesus said everything with his look like, okay, Peter, this is what I was talking about. Hold together. Don't lose it now. And God is doing that today in our lives when we come in to troubles and tribulations. He's looking at us when that starts to happen, and he says, okay, Vicky, you read about this. Maintain. Cheryl, you are going to get through this. I died for this. I sent you that word. All of them messages. Hold together. This looks like the end for me, but it's only the beginning for you. Things look bad because I got a cross on my head and I'm bleeding and they're beating me. But don't fall apart now. I got plans to turn the world upside down with you. You're going through it now, Willa Dean, but hold to everything that you have. I know you don't understand why you just did or said what you did. I know you don't understand why you got to go through what you go through. But hold together. Because I'm stronger than Satan's sifting. He wants to take you apart and find that little pain in there that hurts you so bad and just put his finger on it to watch your reaction. There's a friend of mine that I whacked my head and I had a big knot and a sore. And he said, does that hurt? Well, yeah. And that's what Satan wants to do to us. If that's where your pain is, he just does like that and looks straight at your face. And you can either go, how? And hide it and not let nobody get around it. Or you can say, in Jesus' name, that pain's healed. God's eyes are on me. And even though Peter went through a very, very painful moment in his life, even though he went out and wept bitterly, even though he had the God's eyes was still on Peter. Why do you think if his eyes weren't on Peter? Now think, Jesus died, and I know there's a lot of speculation as to what happened the 3 days that Jesus was gone, but we're just going to leave all that out there because I don't even deal with what I'm talking about, and maybe we'll get that later. All of the things that Jesus went through, we'll give you this one for free. Going to the altar, putting his blood on there, making the atonement, making everything good. Out of all of this wonderful thing, I just wonder. It just amazes me, Brian, what the angels would have done when Jesus come walking up through there after the crucifixion. That's one of the things that the angels desired to look into. Looking over the windowsills of heaven, how is it that this can be done for these people? How heaven must have reacted when he brought that blood in to go on the mercy seat, brother, just blows me away. I can't even begin to think of that. And out of all of that stuff that was happening, out of all of the prophecy being fulfilled through Christ Jesus, out of everything that was taking place at that time, when he sees Mary, what does he tell her? Go tell my disciples and Peter. The others ran, but he had a hard time. Be sure that Peter knows. Be sure he knows that I have risen. And when they're out there fishing, and they see the Lord on the shore, and he hollers for them, come, eat with me. I believe John looked straight at Peter and fast on him. He said, Peter, it's the Lord. And immediately Peter jumps in and swims, out swims the boat to the bank. And they find Jesus and Peter there. And I thought, Lord, I would love it if somewhere in the Bible told me what that conversation was. The first personal conversation between Peter and the Lord, after all that they had been through, after everything that they had done, him knowing. Can you imagine? I know we hear prophecies today, and the first thing we think of is, well, maybe it's so, maybe it's not. We don't look at it really that way. But can you imagine what Peter felt like when Mary said, and Peter, Jesus told me to make sure that I told you. He said, tell the other guys, but he said, make sure you knew. If his concern is so much for the sparrow, is so much for the hairs on your head, how concerned can God be for Joan Weddington, for Vicky Chelsea, for Carly, Cheryl, Debbie, Willa Dean, name it who? You need to get in your mind and see that God is so concerned, he sees you daily. I know there's times when we think, sister, he's just left us. We know that he's there, but why am I doing this? Why am I going through this? Because times he has to test us. If your faith, listen, you're heading up to a point. You are heading up to a point where if your faith is not tested and been put through something, if they should drop the bombs tonight, you'll freak out, you'll leave Jesus and sign up for the number, and you'll miss what you've been searching for. But God, who is rich in his mercy, has decided, yes, I'll let my people go through some things. They'll see miracles. They will see healings. They'll see things happen in their life, as you call them God things. They'll see things that they can't explain so that they can rest on everything that I have given them. When in Genesis, it says in Jacob, old, sitting on the side of his bed, worship, leaning on his staff. Poor old Jacob just can't even hold himself up. Folks, that's not what that means. On that staff was carved all of the history of God in his life. On his dying bed, Jacob worshipped on everything that had happened. There's not much else old Jacob can do. He's going to be able to bless a few of his kids, and he's going home to glory. But he worshipped knowing that God is going. He delivered me all of these times up to now, and he's going to deliver me into a place called heaven. Can you imagine? Jacob said, I never got to see the promised king. I never got to see the coming Messiah. But I know God is rich in his promise, and it'll come to pass. And how do you think old Jacob felt when he was down there and Jesus come walking in there? And all of them guys who died not to him.
Let's go to Hebrews. That's one of my favorite places. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 4, by faith, Abel. Verse number 5, by faith, Enoch. By faith, verse number 7, Noah. Verse number 8, by faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob in verse 21. By faith, Joseph in verse 22. By faith, Moses, verse 23. 24, by faith, Moses again. By faith, all the children of Israel in verse 29. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the heart of Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies. And what shall I the more say? For time would fail to tell me of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Japheth, of David, of Samuel, of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the sword, out of the wickedness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the alien, women who received their dead raised to life again, and others who were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, the bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted. Notice, that's in there too. They were tempted. Wow, what a weird thing. Can temptation really be something to try my faith according to the word of God? They were wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Let me tell you what, if it was for me, I could sit and say, what about Gideon and Barak? And what about Robbie? And what about Andrea? What about Brian? What about you? Can you put your name in that faith line? Can you say by faith, I'm going to church because I believe that's what I need to do? I don't have no proof that this Jesus guy even lived. But by faith, I'm going to believe it. By faith, I'm going to change the way I live. By faith, I'm going to walk different. By faith, I'm going to believe a little bit different. By faith, I'm going to change the way the morals in my life are. By faith, I'm going to obtain a better resurrection. By faith, I'm not going to take the temptation. By faith, I'm not going to eat that babe. Why? Because the Bible tells us that any trial that we enter into, any temptation that we have, that the Lord Himself has prepared, listen, has prepared the exit for us. He has prepared the escape for us. So if there is a temptation out there that I'm going to enter into, and God has already, listen to me, prepared my way out, then God, seeing it down the road, has already set an end to the thing which is there. Why? Because His eyes are on you. The Creator of the universe. The Supreme God, who can have anything He wants, do anything He wants, is concerned with Carol on her front porch, thinking about whatever. Drink coffee? Drinking coffee, eating a bowl of ice cream, just wondering about Jesus. You mean a God like that
is going to stop and put his directions towards Andrea trying to change a diaper on a squirming kid. Would he think about that? About the trials that you go through that you think he don't ever hear. He sees every one of them. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, if there's ever been a right now word for Unity Baptist Church, is right now. This is a right now word for you folks. Know in your heart and in the days to come that his eyes are on you. He's not worried about his prophecies being fulfilled or not. He's not worried about whether or not everybody is going to believe this word. What he's worried about is hanging on to that which has been given him by our decision. I mean, it amazed me. I don't know if y'all remember back in June when I delivered the word of prophecy that I felt the Lord gave me. Well, lo and behold, in the last 2 days, 5 renowned preachers has come out with the exact same word. Does that mean it's going to come to pass? No, but there is a rumbling somewhere in the heavens. Does that mean we're going to see total devastation? No, when God sends a warning, the warning is there for a reason. When you see them red signs up, it says warning, right lane ends, get over. Because sooner or later, it is going to end. It ain't going to end at the end of that sign. But it's going to end. And the Lord is sending us message that when we see these things come to pass, don't freak out. Don't go crazy. Don't do nothing but step out on your back porch and look up, for your redemption draws. Now, didn't say it was there. Didn't say, look up, because that is your salvation. Look up. Why would he tell us to look up? Because our redemption's drawing nigh. We should thank the Lord. Though all of this is happening, we're spared. Get yourself in that state of mind. You may wonder and worry and get nervous about what are the little kids going to do in this time. What's going to happen? He's got them covered. Mamas, he's got the kids covered. And the faith that you have will be transferred to them. When you tell her and she don't understand and you tell her, don't worry, Sarah. We're the Lord's and it's covered. That's why Jesus said you must become his kids. Because it don't matter if Amy just tells her, she's going to believe it. Why? Because you're the authority. And if Mama says it's okay, then it's okay. And can I tell you, if the Father tells you it's okay, it's going to be okay, folks. So remember, you're more important than a little bird to God. When you see them birds hopping around out in your yard and God's eyes are on them, just think, his eyes are on me. And it's his goodwill to take care of you. He won't comfort you away. I mean, if that bird just walks up there and there's a cat there or a dog there and he just walks up and says, I'm protected. What's going to happen to the bird? There'll be feathers all over the place. But when he uses what he's been taught, when he gets the warning, when he hears something and he reacts to it, he'll be spared. And folks, I'm telling you, the eyes of the Lord are on you. His eyes on the sparrow. For he careth for you. And as Jesus said, behold, as he was leaving, I'm with you always. Even until the ends of the earth. Notice he didn't say time. He said earth.